Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Same chapter, same book. As Sunday school, if you miss Sunday school, then, you know, I'm not going to help you out, tell you what it was all about. Just ask somebody that was here. And no, I'll tell you, we talked about forgiveness this morning. Forgiving as the Father forgave us. That's what we talked about. So anyway, we won't talk about that right now. But beginning in verse number 17, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. And before I read this, I'm going to introduce my family, because if I don't do it now, I never will. So I'm going to ask my family to stand up. See, I don't have it all written down what I'm supposed to do. So that's, we were talking about that last night. It's my wife, Becky, and then my sons, James, Jared, and Jason. And so that makes us the Jackson Five. So there you go. A lot of things I can say about that. Of course, all the boys' names start with J, obviously, James, Jared, and Jason. And people say, why don't you have any more, you know, why don't you have any more boys? Well, because the next name on the list was Jesse, and that just wasn't going to work. And we didn't have any girls, because the name at the top of the list was Janet, and that wasn't going to work either. So some of you will get that later. Some of you, you know, maybe come talk to me after service. I'll explain it to you. But anyway, whatever God wants us to do, that should be what we want to do. Whatever that might be. And I was born and raised in a Christian home and a preacher's home. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that opportunity and that privilege. And I came to know the Lord at a young age. I was 10. Now that's, you know, some are saved younger than that, but that's when I was saved. And I'm thankful for that. And then the Lord called me to preach, and I'm thankful for that. Now, I've preached all over a lot of different places. The Lord led my dad to resign the church he was pastoring and go to Papua New Guinea as a missionary. And so off we went. So I did a lot of preaching in Papua New Guinea. And it was nothing like it. Just nothing like it. It was some of my greatest memories. Some of my best friends are there. I came back, went to Bible school, and then started a deputation to go back to Papua New Guinea, even though my parents were back in the States by that time. And I met my wife on deputation. We got married, went to New Guinea, and spent a number of years there again. And it wasn't always easy. Life is hard in a situation like that. Just living. We're 3.5 hours away from the nearest town, so communication was an issue. You know, you didn't get good communication. Even in town, it was hard a lot of times to be able to communicate with people. But anyway, God blessed. And we're thankful for that. The church that we were able to start is still there and still serving the Lord. And then because of health reasons, the Lord brought us back from Papua New Guinea. And I pastored for a while. And then now the Lord's led us to come to Canada. You know, and people say, well, why, you know, you were in New Guinea in the tropics, you know. And then you're coming to Canada, which is not necessarily tropical. And, you know, I just tell people God has a sense of humor. That's what I tell people, because God does have a sense of humor. Because, listen, if he would love us and work with us, God has to have a sense of humor. Now, some of you are sitting there real serious now, like I've really offended you, and I hope I haven't. But I mean, really, if we look at ourselves honestly, we have to say, you know, God has to have a sense of humor to put up with me. We would. But anyway, we're glad that God's led us to come to Canada and to Edmonton to start a church. A lot of you know Edmonton. You know Edmonton far better than I do. You know what the situation is there. You know the need that's there. And there is a need. We, you know, and sometimes we talk about the need, and not just in Edmonton, not just here in Castlegar, because there's a need here. Not everybody here has come to know the Lord, have they? There's still people who need to be reached here. And we talk about that, and as well we should. We need to remind ourselves of that. We talk about, you know, people are lost, they're dying, and they're on their way to hell and that kind of thing. But, you know, we kind of get to where we use those catchphrases. You know, people are lost and dying without Christ and that kind of thing. And we don't really go into the reality of what are we talking about? People are lost and dying without Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about this. And in verse number 17, we'll read down through verse 20, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the privilege to be able to be here this morning and meet with your people. And we pray that as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and use it in our hearts and lives to encourage us, to challenge us. And Lord, we don't know, but if there's one here this morning who has never come to trust you as their Savior, I pray that you might speak to their heart today from your word, and that even today they might come. And Lord, I pray for your will to be done in everything that we say and do today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the whole world is lost. And Paul here in verse 17, he says, again, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." He's talking about the other Gentiles. Now, the other Gentiles he's talking about are the majority. The other Gentiles are the ones who have never known what it is to have their sins forgiven. They've never known what it is to have a relationship with Almighty God. They've never known what it is to have the assurance of eternal life and in eternity with God in heaven. That's who he's talking about here, these other Gentiles. And as we look at what he says about these other Gentiles, I think it'll give us a better understanding of really the task that's before us as God's people. We're trying to reach people who are lost and who need to be saved. They need to come to know the Lord. And, you know, you may have been saved late in life, but sometimes we forget what that was like. We forget where we came from. And so we're dealing with people who are where we once were, but we forget what that was like. And we try to deal with them from the same standpoint that we're at now. But they're not at that standpoint, are they? They don't understand, and we'll see that here. But in verse 17, he says that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And he's beginning to talk about the sinner's way. And he starts off by talking about those who walk after the vanity of their mind. The word vanity here has to do with depravity. And so, in other words, the things that they think about, the things that come across their mind are things that are depraved, things that lead to depravity. If you just sit and look at the world around you, you see that that's absolutely the case in this world. People are doing things, they come up with all the solutions, don't they? People think they have the solution to every problem, don't they? Except sometimes their own. You know, they've got all the solutions for everybody else. But when those solutions then are put into practice, what ends up happening? A greater problem. Is that not true? There's a greater problem. Then we've got to come up with another solution to this problem that came as a result of the solution we had to the initial problem. So what do? You come up with another solution that then creates further problem. And so you have to come up with another solution to the problem that came from the end. Anyway, so you go on that way. That kind of thing goes on, and it goes on all the time as you look around at the world and what this world considers to be absolutely logical and absolute common sense. The fruit of that is nothing but depravity. I'll just give you one little example here. And this is the idea of sacrificing to a god in order to receive a benefit. Now, having said that, most of us probably are thinking about somebody off in a jungle somewhere, right? You know, sacrificing to some idol and that kind of thing. Although that indeed happens, but even here, people do things. If you ever pay attention to what calls itself Christian radio and Christian television, a lot of times you run across people who say, if you'll just send money into our ministry, you'll get all these blessings. You'll never have any bills. You'll have a house paid for and two cars and all this sort of thing. And what is it that they're talking about? That's depravity is what it is. It's not sensible. Proverbs 21:27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? So that's what they're doing. They're bringing it with a wicked mind. It's an abomination to God. It leads to depravity. Well, I think, you know, if I support this or if I do this or that, then I'm going to get something out of it. I'm going to receive a benefit from that personally. Well, that's not why we give to God. But that is part of the vanity, walking in the vanity of their mind. And when we walk after the vanity of our mind, what happens is we're walking contrary to God. That's what we're doing. Because that's a lot of our problem, isn't it? Isn't that really what happened with Adam and Eve? They were walking after the vanity of their mind. Now, certainly Eve was deceived by the serpent, without doubt, but she made her own choice. She looked at the fruit and she saw that it was good to eat and she took it. She decided, you know what? I know better than God what's good for me. Now, isn't that what a lot of people have in their mind? You know, I know, I don't know about God, and I don't know, you know, he doesn't know anything about me. I'm just going to live my life the best I know how, and I'm going to do things the best I know how. And what they're doing is setting themselves at odds with Almighty God. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so you have this. People walking after the vanity of their mind. But he goes on in verse 18 saying, having the understanding darkened. And this is not necessarily a progression, but this list is it's a terrible list as you think about it. There are people who have their understanding darkened. What that means is, very simply, people, they just don't get it. They just can't wrap their mind around the truth. Their understanding is darkened. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody? Just talk to people about the things of God. And you can tell, just by the way they look at you, you can tell they're not getting it. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It's because, naturally, man's understanding is darkened. His understanding is darkened. And that's not anything new. It's not anything that just popped up in the last 100 years or so. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, why would his thoughts be only evil continually? Because he couldn't understand what was right. And what's more, he really didn't want to understand what was right. But when there is a darkened understanding, we're going to go the wrong way. And that's what happens. People, their understanding is darkened and they choose to go the wrong way. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7 and verse 24, the scripture says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. They can't understand. Their understanding is darkened. They can't understand what's right. They can't understand what God wants for them. And so they go the wrong way. When I was pastoring, in Texas. I worked for the Department of Public Safety, and my job, at part of the time at least, my job was a driver's license examiner. So usually when I tell people that, they won't let me ride with them or anything. But anyway, but I'll never forget the very first ride along when I was just in training. I was just going along with the other examiner, just seeing this is what you do. And the lady that we were going to do an exam with, a road exam, she was from Sri Lanka. She'd come to the university there. And so she was trying to get her license. Now, Sri Lanka, there's several things about Sri Lanka. They drive on the other side of the road. They also, by and large, don't know what an automatic transmission is. And their cars are small. So this young lady comes to do her driver's examination with a Lincoln Town Car. If you can get the opposite of what she was used to, that was it. And so here we were, and of course, her language skills just weren't as good as we could have liked. And she was trying to understand. We're telling her to roll down the window so that we can make sure that the turn signals work and the brake lights and all that before we actually go out on the road trip. She couldn't understand what we were saying. Of course, partly because the door was closed and the window was up. And so she would open the door. What did you say? And we would say, could you roll down the window? And she'd shut the door while we're talking to her. And she just, and finally, we fought our way through that, got in the car. And by this time, I'm scared. And I'm wondering if I'm going to live through this. And, you know, like I said, this is my first time out. And I'm thinking, are they all like this? And fortunately, they're not by any stretch. But then we finally got to the point where we told her, yes, you can start the car now. She put the car into drive and then was trying to turn the key. Again, she's used to standard transmission. And I'm sure she's wondering why she couldn't get her foot on the clutch over there, since there wasn't one. And thankfully, about 5 minutes later, we failed her, and we actually never left the parking lot. So it turned out really, really good. But what was her problem? Was it that she was a bad driver? Not necessarily. She was not in the kind of vehicle that would be good for her with what she was used to. But her main problem was she could not understand what was going on. We know what was going on, and we're trying to, and of course we're not supposed to, but we finally got to the point where we're telling her, put it back in park and turn the key. You know, please, you know, let's do something here. And so, but she could not understand. She could not comprehend what it was we were saying to her. Well, that's how it is with someone who is without Christ. Their understanding is darkened. And we could talk about going to heaven all day. They don't get it. We can talk about enjoying fellowship with God. They don't understand that. We can talk about having your sins forgiven, and it doesn't mean anything to them. They don't get it. And it's a sad thing. And so because of that, it does lead them in the wrong direction. Because they listen to it, they say, well, that doesn't make any sense. And so they go the other way. And that's what happens so often when we're trying to talk with people. Look here further in verse 18. It says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So here, this is an alienated existence. The word alienated has to do with something that's estranged or a non-participant. And I really like that definition, a non-participant. So a non-participant in life, they may be living and breathing, physically speaking, but they have no participation in real life. Now, those of us who know the Lord, we know what that's about. We know what real life is. But those who don't know the Lord, they don't. And it says here, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, someone who's blind, you ask them, now tell me what the difference is between, royal blue and navy blue and baby blue. What's the difference? And what will a blind person tell you? Now, if they tell you anything that makes sense, it's only because they heard somebody else. So they're just repeating what they've heard somebody else say. But they don't know because they've never experienced that for themselves. And spiritually speaking, it's the same. You talk to somebody about spiritual things and about the things of God and about salvation and so on, they may be able to parrot some things they've heard somebody else say, but they don't know what they're talking about because they've never experienced that for themselves, because spiritually they're blind. And we know that it's Satan that blinds people, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And of course, Satan, he'll use anything to blind people. Satan will use religion. He's not opposed to that. Satan will use the Bible. He's not opposed to that. He'll use anything as long as it will keep people blinded. But you remember, that's why Jesus came, isn't it? It's to end that alienation, to end that non-participation in life. Because Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why he came. And so we can thank God for that. Look at verse 19 here. Still, talking about the sinner's way, we see a life that's given away, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is a life given away. And this life is given away because they're past feeling. Past feeling. And as we watch people who continue to live in sin, and we see the bitter results of that, we hurt for them. And we say, if only they knew the Lord, they could avoid all this hurt that they're feeling. But they go on as if it's no big deal. And they just continue on down the path of sin. They don't feel it. It reminds me when I was pastoring, I got a phone call one evening from our song leader, and he was diabetic, and he'd had some toes amputated, and as with diabetics, it wasn't healing very well. And so he was having some problems and ended up in the emergency room. So I went down to be with him, and we were talking there in the ER. And the nurse came in and unwrapped his foot, and she began poking and prodding on his foot. It was just not a pretty sight. And I mean, you're going to want to eat after this, so I won't describe it to you. But I mean, it was just pretty nasty. And I'm sitting there, my eyes just as big as they can be, just staring. And he's laughing and joking and telling stories. And finally, when the nurse went out, I said, brother, doesn't this bother you? Oh, no, I don't feel it. Wasn't a problem. Wasn't a problem to him that his foot wasn't healing right, because he didn't feel it. Now, he knew it was a problem. But that's such an example of how someone is without Christ. Things happen, they don't feel it. They don't feel it. And they just continue on. Their life is given away. And according to this, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness. And the word lasciviousness has to do with being out of control. Being out of control. I wonder, has anybody here ever been bungee jumping? And want to admit it? Okay, I don't see anybody willing to admit it. And good, because that's just crazy, if you want to do that, that's fine. Just don't expect me to, go along with you. I'll go watch and, call the ambulance later. But what happens, we see people, like they're on a bridge and they jump off with this bungee cord. And what happens when they jump off? Who's in control? Gravity's in control. The cord's going to take them wherever the cord will, if it works. You see why I would never do that. I have no faith in bungee cords at all. None whatsoever. But you see, that really is how people are without Christ. They're out of control. They have no control. And you watch people and you see them doing things that you know they would never do. You know what I'm saying? You know, just go back a year or two and they would, oh, I would never do that. But now they're involved in that and it's all good. And it's all fine and it's wonderful. What's going on? It's because they're out of control. They've been given over to lasciviousness. They're not in control anymore. And they never were, to be quite honest. But they're not in control. Sin's in control. And sin, as you see, it says they're given over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So it's not as if being out of control is enough. Now we're getting further and further into sin. And deeper into sin. This is the sinner's way. This is when we're talking about people are lost and dying without Christ. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are in this condition. Now the good news is it doesn't end there. Because verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. There's hope. And the only hope for this world who are the other Gentiles, the only hope they have is Christ. That's the only hope there is. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 26, 18, Jesus says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the only hope that this world has is the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, the only avenue by which this hope is available to people is through the Great Commission, through fulfilling the Great Commission. And the reason I say that, in Matthew 28, in the giving of the Great Commission there, Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But what is it that Paul says here in Ephesians 4 and verse 20? But ye have not so learned Christ. Now, how is it that they learned Christ? Because somebody went and taught all nations. It's an interesting thing to think about and to consider. That's the only way that people are going to know is if they're taught. And I'm not saying we should start a school. I mean, that's what we're here for. We have been left here to be teachers of Christ. And so when Christ then comes in, then he makes a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And no longer are people walking as the other Gentiles. Now they're walking as a child of God. And they're different. And you find that here in our text. Well, here in Ephesians 4, we'll not read it, but verse 20 through verse 24, it talks about that, putting off the old man and putting on the new, because we're different. Christ has made us to be different. But this world is in such sad shape. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that's the truth. And we should never say that in a way that, we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, we're better than them. Because that's not true. We were in the same boat all together before the Lord saved us. And so we need to know that. But this morning, as God's people, what our goal needs to be is to be teachers of Christ, so that as we come across these other Gentiles, these who are lost, these who are walking after the vanity of their mind. These who have their understanding darkened. These who are alienated from the life of God. These who have given themselves over to lasciviousness. When we run across these, we need to teach them. And of course, teaching takes time, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but when I began to learn to read, I did not learn to read in one day. It took some time. And so we need to also show patience in teaching others about Christ. Because remember, their understanding is darkened. So we need to be patient and faithful teachers so that those who are around us, as well as those who are in other places, not only have the opportunity to hear, but have the opportunity to come to Christ. That's why we're here, is to be teachers. So let's be faithful. Let's be faithful in teaching those who are around us. Let's stand together, bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll turn the service over to your pastor. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to understand it. Lord, if there's one here who is lost, Lord, I pray that they might understand that through you they can have life. Through you they can be free from the blindness. And Lord, know peace and fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray for those of us who do know you that you would challenge us this morning that we might be the teachers that you want us to be sharing the truth, your truth, with others around us patiently and clearly so that they might understand it. And Lord, that they might be also coming to you and trusting you. Lord, have your will now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.